Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Happy Tuesday, Cleveland. We are getting a little bit back to Guardians action coming up here at the end of the hour. They're taking on the Brewers, so hopefully have some reaction to get to later on in the night from that game. Brendan Sorsby, as we figured out late last night, going into the NFL supplemental draft, and that created a whirlwind of effects. And of course, Cavs officially heading into the offseason, so there are more and more conversations to be had surrounding that as well, and a lot to get to, 4 hours to do it. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. We have Michael Bohm running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Michael Markoch with us tonight. And a lot of things to get into, but I just thought it was interesting kind of taking a look around really where we stand with the Cavs in this offseason. And the Ringer put out their updated top 100 NBA player rankings today. And they updated them end of the season, heading into next year, where you stand. And you officially got Donovan Mitchell outside of the top 10 of the NBA player rankings. He fell right at 11. Which I would honestly turn around and say, one, I don't even know that I can have a rebuttal to this. Like, I don't even know that I can go anywhere to back up the idea that I think Donovan Mitchell is a top 10 player in the NBA right now. And I think the worst part of it is I don't know that I can really do anything at this point to even argue that Donovan Mitchell is the 11th best player in the league right now. Even a lot of the guys that trail right behind him, I think you can make a very clear case for. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns is currently sitting at 12. You want to tell me Donovan's better than Cat? I think this playoffs probably proved something differently. Donovan was less than himself offensively and was a liability defensively for a majority of the playoffs. Cat reinvented himself defensively and was still really good offensively for the Knicks, and a lot of the offense was rolling through him. And then you have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown going right behind him. And I get it. Like, the Celtics made a bad run and obviously got first rounded, got the 3-1 comeback put up against them by the 76ers. It's not a good sign. It's not what you want to see, but Jaylen Brown proved he can be a number one on a team this year, and Jason Tatum was dealing with an injury all year, still probably going to be a stronger player when he comes back heading into the 2026-27 season. This is kind of the almost end-all be-all with the conversation that we get into with Donovan that I get animated about from time to time, where I try to make this explanation, and I don't think that it gets through to people. I don't think most people want to hear the idea that Donovan is regressing. He is not the same player he was, and probably because of those things, the Cavs are in worse of a playoff spot or a championship window, it is farther away than it was a year ago. It's farther away than it probably was 2 years ago, despite the team getting to a level that they've never reached. Never having gotten to the point of making an Eastern Conference Finals, they accomplished going farther than ever this year. Yet it still felt like the team was so incredibly far away from actually being anywhere near getting to a title. Because you got decimated by the Knicks. And I mean, all fairness, the Spurs got handled pretty comfortably against the Knicks as well. It's obviously a team that was on a heater. You can make the argument, oh, you ran into a buzzsaw. I don't know how many years in a row that works, guys. That would be three in a row we're going for. The Celtics were a buzzsaw. The Pacers were a buzzsaw. The Knicks were. At some point, wouldn't you like to be the buzzsaw? Like, wait, shouldn't you at some point probably take the ascension up and be the team that other people fear? But again, this is a thing. Like, Donovan's about to be 30 years old. Doesn't put him far behind, by the way. The players we're talking about, he's about the same age as Jaylen Brown. He's about the same age, a couple years older than Jason Tatum. It's not like Donovan is, we're talking about him like he's James Harden, and all of a sudden he's going to be 37 this year, and he's in the twilight of his career. But Donovan, I think, aside from looking at the stats, aside from trying to dig deep into that, I think even if you just watch it with your own two eyes this year, you could see Donovan regression, especially in the playoffs, right? When the toll of some series piled up against each other had started to wear on Donovan, you could see the toll it took on his body. And it is the exact conversation, the exact argument everybody makes when they talk about Donovan Mitchell in age, but he is a combo guard, and he is a combo guard getting to be 30 years old. He has spent, I mean, we're now going on what, this will be season 10, I believe, for Donovan inside the NBA. Like, you have a lot of miles racked up across your time in Utah and Cleveland. You have done so much at this point and been so successful, but at some point, the way that you play, that wanes down. And we see players make adjustments. We see players find ways to continue to be super effective. That was not Donovan this year. Like, he was not finding a way. If he could not get downhill and be the player that he typically was, he wasn't having the same impact on the game. Like, I just don't know that there is an argument right now about Donovan being a top 10 player. And I think when you talk about, oh, well, Donovan's not a top 10 player, well, you start to get into the conversations of, yeah, like, what are you able to actually reach to in the NBA playoffs without a top 10 player in the league? Because you scroll down that list, like, they have Victor Wembanyama, the Ringer does, as we brought up earlier, ranked as the number two. Even Jalen Brunson was ranked as number five on this list. I mean, if you're the Cavs, it's Donovan Mitchell at 11, and you have to keep searching for quite some time before you finally get to Evan Mobley, all the way down at 24. So they are viewing the Cavs as, yes, two top 25 players in the NBA, but at 11 and 24, that sounds like a team that ended right about where we have expected them to end most years in the NBA playoffs. Oh, well, they're one of the top eight teams remaining. This year, one of the top four teams remaining, but not the team that is willing to take that step. And by the way, you might be able to get past with a 8th and 24th overall star if the supporting pieces around it were really good. Like, the argument against that right now is the Oklahoma City Thunder, who currently have Shea as the number one player. So again, a much higher rank than Donovan Mitchell. But you don't get your next Oklahoma City Thunder player all the way down until 28, where Chet Holmgren sits. Okay, but you get past that because every single piece built around those players is built to succeed. Chet's already a good defender, as is Evan. Shea's an okay defender, better than Donovan Mitchell, but they have so many defensive pieces set around the Thunder to just succeed. Alex Caruso, Lou Dort, Jalen Williams. And then you look at where the Cavs are at, and it's like, oh, we talk about the depth they have year in and year out, but then you get to the playoffs and you feel like you have none of it. What role player consistently stepped up for the Cavs on a regular basis? Because I can look at the New York Knicks, who just won a title, and tell you that you could take their starting lineup basically out of it, and I saw multiple good games out of Jose Alvarado in back-to-back series. You could make an argument that you see several good games out of Mitchell Robinson, and they were basically just using him as a foul decoy to put themselves into the bonus. And I was getting, I mean, great performances out of Landry Shamet. You just didn't have that consistently from the Cavs. Even Max Strus, a guy with, NBA Finals experience, he had good games. Sam Merrill had good games. You had individual performances, obviously, from bench guys eventually stepping up. But there was just no consistency to the idea, and that's what you need in the playoffs. It's like, yeah, my role players have to not show up every single game. That's what my stars are there to do. That's what Donovan and James and Evan Mobley are supposed to be accomplishing, which, by the way, they still weren't, which is part of this conversation. But I need other guys to step up, like, once every other game. I need you to be reliable several times throughout a series. And it just felt like that never happened. Like, you would get a great Sam Merrill game, and then he would disappear for the remainder of a series. You would get a great Max Strus game, and then he would, at least on one side of the ball offensively, disappear for the rest of a series. All of this going to say, if I can't make an argument for Donovan to be inside the top 10, and I don't think he's better than any of the players right now inside the top 10. Your best argument right now is Kawhi Leonard, because the guy's never healthy and playing. He's still a better player at this point in his career than Donovan is. I think if you take all of those things in, I can't make a strong argument for Donovan to be top 10, and could make an argument for him to be closer to top 15, and closer to 15. Where does your ceiling cap out as a team? Where can you actually ascend to this year, especially given all the restrictions you have? We're going to talk about, you know, some of the roster moves the Cavs have been rumored to have throughout this offseason and the type of things they're considering. And not one of them does it lead me to think the Cavs are going to be a better team next year. Not one of any of the moves that I'm watching is it, hey, this team really thinks that they have a chance and they can go for it, other than just roll the same team right back out there. Right? I mean, take away some pieces because guys have to get paid and we got to find a way to get under the second apron. Fantastic. You obviously have to do that. You cannot take the repercussions of being a second apron team in back-to-back seasons. That is basically death right in front of your own two eyes. But at the exact same time, you're walking out of here just going, I'm watching so many teams try to load up right now. The Celtics are, you know, rumored to be active in making moves. Obviously, the Heat and Giannis is, you know, no pun intended, but starting to heat up right now. And we are getting teams that are going to improve throughout this offseason. The Pistons are probably going to get better and look to build around Cade. And we've rattled off a lot of these teams. I don't see the Knicks getting any worse. But then there's the Cavs, and it's like this delusional mindset that the team that you have in front of you, recommitting to Donovan Mitchell year after year, going back at this and just having Donovan lead the team, and something's going to change. The only thing that is currently changing is Donovan is falling farther and farther down lists of the best players in the NBA. He is aging, he is regressing, and the team is, sure, bonding together, getting a really good team chemistry going, hopefully heading into the next season, a full year of James Harden. But at the end of the day, you have an aging team that doesn't look like it has many pieces who are improving and has a lot of pieces that are just going to continue to regress, continue to get worse with age. And then Kobe Altman and the Cavs just expecting a different result. You flopped on the idea that you were going to be able to get players, right? You are going to be able to get wings, be able to get guys who can defend and help Donovan blend back into the court, not have to be picked on, not be that massive defensive liability. The same way that we can watch the New York Knicks and Jalen Brunson is out there and he doesn't look like a defensive liability every single possession on the floor. But Donovan has continued to look like that. It is where so much of my lack of belief right now for the Cavs and the direction they're heading in lie is the fact that, yeah, it's not just me sitting here recognizing that Donovan is beginning to fall off and beginning to decline as a player, but I think the national media and a lot of people around the NBA right now are also starting to take notice of Donovan's not putting up 50-game performances. He's not putting up consistent 40-game performances. He looked human. And a lot of times in these playoff series, the one thing you can count on is Donovan Mitchell is going to get his. The points are going to come. And this playoff series, or this entire playoff run, I should say, Donovan looked human. And I don't think that bodes well for the Cavs' chances. 216-474-0092. Do you still believe Donovan Mitchell is a top 10 player in the NBA? Because I'm not buying it, and I think the Ringer is honestly probably rating him too high right now. Plus, you can get to us on X at VolnickJake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. We have the most pressing things said by our station's guest today, coming your way at 7:40 with the station buzz. We are going to get to our very own Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, going to join us coming up at 8 o'clock, talk about everything surrounding the Browns, Brendan Sorsby, and everyone around Cleveland. We're going to get to Get a Grip, as we always do, at 9 o'clock, promptly followed by Lance Reislin, our very own here in The Fan at Cleveland.com, joining us at 9:20. It is a Tuesday, and it is a blind tier Tuesday. We'll get Michael in the 10 o'clock hour, and, of course, react to the Guardians when they're wrapped up and finished out in Milwaukee. But right now, 216-474-0092. Do you still believe Donovan Mitchell is a top 10 player? We're going to get into some of the roster moves being rumored for the Cavs and a little bit of an injury update on the Guardians. It all comes your way in 5 minutes right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With you guys until 11 on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. We got the station buzz coming your way in about 17 minutes. But we're asking you, 216-474-0092, do you still believe Donovan Mitchell is a top 10 player in the NBA right now? And we went about kind of discussing the repercussions of Donovan not being a top 10 player. I don't know that if you don't have a top 10 player in the NBA that you're winning an NBA Finals. Like, I just don't know that that can happen. And it feels like the fall off of where Donovan was at is in years past. And I've never felt like Donovan has been the most clutch player in the NBA at any point in his career. I've never felt like he's even probably been like one of the top five most clutch players. But you could count on him down the stretch of a game. It felt like in games this year in the playoffs, especially as time went on and the amount of games had worn on his body, Donovan in the fourth quarter was just non-existent. And I think he was battling an injury, but this is the problem with Donovan, is every time we get to the playoffs, it's like, Donovan's really good, but it always seems like he's trying to work through something. Right? And it felt obvious this year, but I can't have that every single year of the career. Like, that does impact the rankings. That does impact what you are as a player. I don't think you can win a championship with your best player, by far, hands down, best player on the team, always dealing with something. I just don't think you can get that done. When it comes down to you have 11-24, according to the Ringer's rankings, it just doesn't feel good enough. But I want to hear from you guys. Again, do you feel like Donovan Mitchell is a top 10 player right now? Let's go out to the phones. Ben is in Menor. What's going on, Ben? Ben, are you there?
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Hello?
There we go. Now we got you. What's going on, Ben?
All right. Yeah, I do not see Donovan Mitchell as a top 10 player. I mean, maybe in the regular season, but at the end of the day, those are empty stats. come playoff time, he just, I don't know if it's a mental thing or he doesn't want to get hurt or he is hurt, but you got to attack the rack. And if you can't get to the bucket, you need a second move, and he just doesn't have that second move. Like, you see Jalen Brunson, 6 foot on a good day. Shea, I don't know, 6'3", 6'4", whatever he is. They have this fader that is looks like a terrible shot, but it goes in consistently. Donovan Mitchell does not have that shot. He needs to develop it. But also, I just think it's an overall mentality thing. It's a deeper issue. This team just jogs around. I mean, Josh Hart, OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, they hustle up and down the floor. I mean, Luke Kornet had a chase down block that was reminiscent of a Zion Williamson high school mixtape in the playoffs. Like, yeah. Those guys just bust their tail 24/7, and our team just simply doesn't. And I don't know where that issue's coming from, but if that doesn't get fixed, it's nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's no argument against it for me, and Ben, I appreciate the call. It's just, it feels like a mentality thing as a whole. Like, I can't tell you how refreshing it was. And I was watching the entirety of the NBA playoffs for the most part. Obviously, would miss a game here and there. But sitting down and watching the entirety of the NBA finals, it was like you did not have the two best defensive teams set up in the NBA. Obviously, Wemby is an incredible defensive player. And you have individually good. I mean, OG Anunoby, I believe he was All-NBA second team on defense. Cat obviously had a much, you know, improved season defensively. But you didn't have, like, the Oklahoma City Thunder, a great team defensively. You look at them and go, that's one of the best teams defensively in the NBA. I don't think you have that. You had two pretty good defenses. And I'm just watching guys sprint up and down the floor. I'm watching guys sprint through rotations defensively, get a hand up, contest. I mean, legitimately, like, you get beat, you're still hustling down the other side. Like, I get beat on a drive-by, I'm coming back down and seeing if I can get a chase down block, seeing if I can affect the shot. It's like I watch the Cavs get beat on a drive-by and they lazily start jogging over to the next guy, even if the, you know, guy attacking the basket doesn't end up scoring. It's like you're late in rotations. There's just not a ton of effort defensively like there, right there, and that's what separates them more than anything. And Donovan is one of the biggest problems of that. Like, he is not the most active defensive player, certainly not the most talented defensive player. And I think what Ben is talking about, this lack of a second move, is real for Donovan. Like, he is not a prolific three-point shooter. He attacks the basket, I mean, just about as well as anybody in the NBA when he's healthy and he wants to. But your second move is, I mean, what, a floater from Donovan? And don't get me wrong, he hits some incredible shots, Donovan, but there's no patented second move that he ever goes to. It just feels like it's get to the rim a lot, shoot okay from three, right? Like a very respectable number. But I watch so many things that, you know, the players that are ranked inside the top 10, the Shea Gilgeous-Alexanders, the Jalen Brunsons, Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, all of these guys, and it's like, we have elite three-point shooters. We have elite scorers. We have guys with some of the deepest bags that we have. And Donovan, at this point in his career, where he is so often used as a younger player, just his ability to be athletic, his ability to get past people, and what is a nice arsenal of dribble moves to get past his defender and make it work. Now it's like, yeah, when you slow down, when the legs don't work like they used to, this is where we talk about guys adapting their game. Right? Either leaning farther into the three-point shot like we saw LeBron do, obviously, as his career went on and became a much better three-point shooter, a true threat from all three levels of the floor. It's like, I don't trust Donovan every time he pulls up for a mid-range shot. It feels like half the threes he takes are like the sidestep prayer three that seems like it falls 25% of the time. There isn't enough there for him to be considered a top 10 player in the NBA. I don't even know that you consider him like a top 7 to 10 offensive player in the NBA. That's obviously defense dragging down his ranking a lot right now. Let's go back out to the phones. BP's in Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, Jake. I have to take offense to that last caller. I mean, not this past season, but the year before, Donovan Mitchell was first team all NBA. Mm-hmm. That means he was a top 5 NBA player. So, I mean, you know, this year, you know, Wemby, you know, snuck in there and whatnot, but Donovan Mitchell was still a second team All-NBA, second team. So that means he's a top 10 player. I don't care what the ringer says. You know, if, you know, Bill Simmons ranks a guy, you know, he's very, you know, pro Celtics.
Yeah, of course.
I don't care what the Ringer says.
Which,
or
by the
whatever.
Way, I will say, BP, both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum fell below Donovan on this list. So the other side of that is I don't even think it was Celtics bias, but I think that's part of the issue, though.
It's also recency bias, you know, like, oh, the Celtics lost to the Knicks, or, you know, oh, so they're going to be bumped, you know, their stars are going to be bumped out of the top 10. To me, that's not the problem with the Cavs. The problem with the Cavs is we don't have any small forwards. You know, that you saw the Knicks, they steamrolled through the NBA playoffs. They went 16-3, and two of those losses were against the Hawks, like in the first round. So they really steamrolled through the NBA, and what I can take, I'm a Cavs fan, so I have to learn from what the Knicks did right. Mm-hmm. What they did right was they brought on Mikal Bridges. They brought on OG Anunoby. Yeah, I mean, none of their player, they even brought on Josh Hart, who's, you know, a wing player, a two guard, but a solid player. All the Knicks players were traded. None of them were homegrown. They weren't drafted by the Knicks or anything like that. It's actually kind of, you know, I got to give them credit. Where the Cavs have been trying to build this thing, you know, like organically with Darius Garland, Okoro, all these draft picks. It just hasn't worked out. But I'm not going to give up on the Cavs. I still think they need to figure out a way to get a starting caliber small forward in here. And if it's going to be LeBron James, and get him here, you know, or if it's going to be a trade. But we just can't keep, you know, repeating this cycle. I don't think we have an – I think also Donovan Mitchell, when he goes up against Jalen Brunson, do you know what their record is against each other? It's 12-3. Jalen Brunson owns Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. But it's just, he's just a clutch player, and Donovan Mitchell isn't as clutch. I think Donovan Mitchell is a pound for pound a better player than Brunson, but Brunson is a much more clutch player when the chips are down. It happened when, you know, they were out in the Western Conference, and then now it's happening here in the East. But, you know, I do have my reservations about the Cavs. I like that you're talking about them, because now this is the season where, you know, you got the draft, and then you got free agency coming up.
Right.
But so this is when the Cavs could make a move. I don't think we're going to get Giannis. We're not going to get Jaylen Brown. I think the two plays for us is try to convince LeBron to come back here. I think it would be a great story, and I think he'll have a chance to win a championship, or trade Jared Allen for some small forwards. That's my thought.
And listen, like, I love the idea of it, BP, but I just don't know, and I appreciate the call. I don't know how you're getting those players. Like, the starting caliber wing, I don't think Jared Allen is good enough for that. Obviously, you could convince LeBron. That is like your gold ticket to just getting a formidable wing to play for your team. You're banking on a lot on the idea that LeBron wants to have a homecoming. We can't get into the mind of LeBron and say that's 100% going to happen. Seems like there's mutual interest in several teams for LeBron. He is going to weigh his options this year. He could just as easily stick around with LA and probably be in just as good, if not, you know, even better of a spot to go out and compete for a championship. I still don't view it that way, but we'll see the way LeBron views it. But still, you're basically wishing on hope. And yes, Donovan can be all NBA first team. The problem with Donovan is I've been able to point out the flaws when we get to the playoffs. Right? The playoffs is where I want to just pick on Donovan. It's not always, you know, the way that it felt this year where I couldn't trust 40 from Donovan, but it's other times where it's like, and even this year, not feeling like he's getting everybody else involved. And he wasn't a true point guard this season, the way he had been asked to be in multiple other playoff series due to the lack of Darius Garland. But I still feel like at some point there, I'm missing something. I'm missing something from Donovan Mitchell that should be pushing him into that. And yes, clutch does matter. I should be able to count on my best players at the end of games. And you're right. Jalen Brunson does own him, like absolutely own him in that aspect. Jalen Brunson's probably one of the most clutch players, if not the most clutch player in the NBA right now. But I just don't have this level of faith right now that they're going to be able to get the wings. And even if you do, what do you give up? What are you giving up in response to it? Like, even some of the stuff that we're looking at right now, it's like, oh, we're going to prioritize keeping Dean Wade over Keon Ellis. Okay, I can see some of the, you know, actual what you're trying to think there. And then it's, well, this team's looking to move on from Dennis Schroeder. Well, the contract's a little big. I get it. But then you traded DeAndre Hunter for what now? Like, you just got him off the team. I would have rather just kept DeAndre Hunter than 1 year of Dennis Schroeder and a guy that, you know, was a promising young player in Keon Ellis that you're not even looking to keep for back-to-back seasons. Like, what was the point of moving on? And DeAndre Hunter was not nearly good enough, not making that claim, but at least you had a guy who was, you know, above 6'5" that played a little bit of defense. Like, you traded away the one wing you had for two guys you're looking to move on from. It is just in that aspect, I can't wrap my head around a way that the Cavs, I mean, take a massive step forward this year. Because I think Donovan's good. Do I think Donovan, you could win a championship with him if you built the right team around him, which they haven't done. They don't have the wings to make up for Donovan's lack of defense. They don't have enough players around him to make up for the times when Donovan is struggling now offensively. So how am I supposed to believe in this team to build a championship contender? I can't right now. Again, 216-474-0092. Mark is in Youngstown. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, man. You know, the thing the Knicks had behind Brunson was twitchy guards, you know. Mm-hmm. When you got point guards, you need good ball handlers. They got to be fast. They got to be twitchy like Donovan is. But you need a stable of them, and they got to be smart too, and because Donovan can't handle that amount, that load over the course of a season of being fast and twitchy. It wears you down, and you need a stable of them. Losing Ty Jerome was devastating to this team, and I would say that Ty Jerome was better than James Harden just because he's younger, he's faster. He's got similar height. And did you write about trading DeAndre Hunter away? You know, he was putting up, you know, 15 points, 16 points a game. That's better than what you're getting from Dean Wade. I mean, sure, the defense, but, you know, DeAndre Hunter could have turned on the defense in the clutch in the playoffs. You never know, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he was a bad defender, Mark, or up against it, but I appreciate the call. He's obviously not Dean Wade defensively. I just don't understand the wing scenario. And I don't know that losing Ty Jerome was the biggest loss for this team. He's obviously a liability defensively, but you could have used the scoring off the bench. You could have used a six-man type of player like Ty or like DeAndre. It is just an overall like roster-building mistake. It feels like year after year. Like, again, you went out and got Schroeder and Ellis just to turn around and think about the fact that, I mean, they're not prioritizing keeping either of them on this roster right now, according to the reports we have. I don't know what you're getting rid of players. You're moving on from guys all to still live in the second apron, all still not to get to where you want to go, and to fall short. And it feels like a very similar way year after year. 216-474-0092. What are the Cavs trying to accomplish with their roster right now? Because it feels like it's get under the second apron and then not much past it. We're going to get more on this as well as your calls. Larry, Lance, everybody else at 216-474-0092. We're going to get to you guys. If we have to, we'll push the station buzz back as well. We're going to get to your calls coming up in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. We got Daryl Ryder joining us coming up at 8 o'clock. Going to break down the Brendan Sorsby situation for the Browns as well. Everything surrounding the entirety state of the team right now. You've heard it in Michael's updates as well. Some injuries floating through for the Guardians. We're going to react to their game later on, but you have fractured bones for all.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep. It's key.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Of Jose Ramirez and Angel Martinez and Chase Stillwater. Not a really good sign. Not great. Not incredible. And we got guys like Petey Halpin come back up to the roster. So somebody help us. But we're talking a little bit on Donovan Mitchell, whether or not he's a top 10 player and what the Cavs are actually trying to accomplish with their roster right now. Because I think there's so many questions just about what this team actually wants to do other than get under the second apron. I just have not seen them do anything. I mean, really, all that impactful that they've been looking at this offseason, things they have been rumored for. And obviously, you're not talking a lot about, you know, other teams' players unless you're in the Giannis sweepstakes right now or you're in the Jaylen Brown sweepstakes right now. But you are in a situation where I think you'd want to keep some of the young players, some of the guys with promise, some of the guys that can make up for, you know, players who are making a large lump sum of money, the Max Strus's of the world who are going to be hard to keep. And it's like, yeah, not looking to keep Keon Ellis, not looking to keep Dennis Schroeder. I don't have any semblance of a backup plan at this point, though, and I don't like what I'm seeing. But I want to hear from you guys. Let's go right back out to the phones. Lance is in Painesville. What's going on, Lance?
Hey, what's going on, Jake?
Nothing much, man. What do you got?
The problem is, if a player shows you who he is, believe him. Mm-hmm. Donovan is very skilled. I make the difference between skilled players and players that can put teams on their shoulders and carry them deep in the playoffs. Donovan is not on that level, the latter. He can go out there, he can score you 50 points in a game, 40 points, high 30s. We've seen him do that in the playoffs. The thing is, there's always something, like you stated earlier, he's much more physically skilled than Jalen Brunson. He can jump higher, he can run faster, he's stronger. The thing is, Jalen Brunson, I don't know if that comes from having a father that coaches in the same sport. Donovan Mitchell's father played baseball, so I don't know how much he learned from him as far as basketball. But the thing is, there's in the deciding game, Towns only had 2 points. Mm-hmm. Bridges didn't do all that much, and neither did Nobi and Hart. That's part of the reason why Brunson had to score 45 points in the deciding game. He can put a team on his shoulders. There's no mountain too high. He's got that Isaiah Thomas, Allen Iverson, John Stockton mentality. I'm the littlest guy on this court, but I'm the baddest guy on this court as well. I'm going to go out there and put this team on my shoulders. I don't care if I got a sore ankle, a sore knee. I'm going to do that. Donovan doesn't have that. And I get what you're saying about Mobley and Allen, those guys don't support him. At the same time, you can't give him $70 million a year next year. Jake, you know that.
And I think that's a massive problem, Lance. Like, that's one of my biggest gripes right now is it's such a part of the conversation, and thank you for the call. I think, like, and we're going to talk a little bit probably later on about the whole extension talk with Donovan and potentially pushing it back a year. Not only is it a longer extension then, but a more expensive extension for, again, a combo guard who I don't know what the future is with him. Like, I struggle with that. And Donovan's, he's really good in the right now, right? Like, this is not a conversation about Donovan being a bad player. And obviously, there's a lot of negative sentiment coming out of me in this entire conversation because I don't believe in the team right now with Donovan. But he's still a really good player. But you have to take your pick. Like, you either need an all-time type of player, somebody that can put your team on your back, which, no, Lance is saying he doesn't believe Donovan to be. I don't believe Donovan to be. Or you need to build the team really well around him and probably to win an NBA Finals. A combination of both of those things. And it feels like the Cavs have neither right now. Like, I don't trust Donovan to take over for this team. Couldn't trust him in this year's playoffs. If you disagree with that, I mean, go look at the stats. He might have shot 45% from the field. He's also shooting sub 33% from beyond the arc. He was not doing anything, great in the assist department. I think he averaged, about 3 assists a game, if I'm not mistaken, throughout the playoffs. Like, it was just relatively disappointing as a whole. That what Donovan gave me, and again, everything else happening around the roster, like, yeah, I think you have great individual players. We've talked about it for years on end. I think this team is individually incredibly talented year in and year out. Like, the Cavs, with the amount of talent they have and the top 4 players on the roster, there should be an argument. There should be no doubt they're going to an NBA Finals, especially in a year where the East looked like this. And it just didn't even feel like they were close. They somehow got down to one of the last 2 teams in the Eastern Conference. And it didn't even feel like they were close to actually accomplishing their goals of at least making an NBA Finals. You still just continue to fall short there. And I don't see a way that you can build a team in 1 year, which is a window I'm giving Donovan right now. If they're going to keep him around, they want to rebuild into this, rebuy into it. You have 1 year to really prove it to me. Because after that, it's absolutely extension talk. And I got to make a decision on Donovan. I don't see how you get that team to that level in 1 season. This offseason does not bode out well. Cavs don't have money. Cavs don't have a ton of flexibility at the roster. They're trying to open things up. But again, I ask my question, for what? Like, what are you trying to open up money for? What are you trying to create roster flexibility for? I just don't see the magnitude of players, again, other than hope and pray LeBron wants to come back home and play for Cleveland. That's not a good prayer. Like, you're taking, I don't even think you can put it at like a 50-50 shot right now. You're at a sub 50% possibility. I mean, it could be significantly lower than that. That LeBron wants to come back and play for Cleveland, and that is your hope and dream at this point. Let's go right back out to the phones. Larry's in Elyria. What's going on, Larry?
Yeah, how's it going, Jake? Yeah, I mean, you're right. To me right now, Jake, the 3 kids I'd build around is basically Jalen, Tyrese, and Evan. And you're right. I mean, what can you do? I mean, if you can't play, if your offense game's off completely, and this team doesn't have a bunch of one-on-one defenders, that's a problem. If they can't score, they can't play defense. Overall, the team defense, they can, you know what I mean, passing lanes and like that, but shut somebody down individually, they can't do it. But what do you do, too, with Jared? And all of a sudden, his contract's from, $30 million also coming up?
Yeah.
I mean, you're right, Jake. You're strapped. I think the move right now is for the future. I hate to say it, man. I like Dom a lot. Yeah. But the only way to get better, Jake, in the future is right now. You got 3 players you won't work with. And one thing about, too, demand ball, how I think Evan's got to demand the ball a lot more. I mean, that should be the key. I mean, it's mostly James and basically you're wearing yourself out offensively. We mentioned about how he's wearing himself out. If they're doing so much offensively, they maybe give the ball up a little bit more. And play more defense on that position, Jake. I don't know. It just
it's brutal, Larry. Like, I'm sitting here and I appreciate the call. I think some of it is like, I'd love to give Evan more responsibility, right? And we keep talking about the development of Evan Mobley, and listen, to their credit, they put a lot through him the beginning of this season. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Like, the entire start of this year was trying to empower Mobley more, trying to get him more involved in the offense, get more touches in different spots on the floor. And he failed that test. Like, he did not have the ball handling capability. He did not have the ability to get past his defender. And even when he was aggressive, it didn't look great. So, again, to their credit, they tried. But also, how much development are you getting out of Evan Mobley, having him be the third offensive option? Like, we can continue to ask for him to call for the ball. But when you have James Harden and Donovan Mitchell on the floor, he is naturally going to be option number 3. He has to rely on other guys to get it to him. And I think we saw in these playoffs, like, that's the part where I get confused. And not that everybody here is showing positivity, because I think we obviously just had back-to-back callers, express some negativity towards where this team's at. But I would say that the overall sentiment surrounding the Cavs remains to be relatively positive. Like, everybody still has almost a blind faith that, oh no, they're in a really good spot. We just went to the Eastern Conference Finals. And it's like, You can look at the box score and tell me, well, they got better this year. They ascended to somewhere they haven't been before. And you'd be right. Like, if you didn't watch the games, you could have a blind belief in the Cavs. But I don't know what from breaking down the games, watching them night in and night out, gives you faith that this team is moving forward. Again, the build doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, the roster building is just, I mean, it is gone to the wayside of actually what the rest of the NBA has continued to build the roster around. While everybody else has now shifted towards, you got to have at least a couple of great offensive players, a couple of pieces who are nice supporting, but key is to have players who are really strong defensively to slow down the teams who are built around one offensive juggernaut or two or three offensive really capable players. The Cavs have swayed so far away from that where it's like now you almost wish you had J.B. Bickerstaff as a coach. Like, you shifted from defense to offense with J.B. to Kenny Atkinson the moment that the NBA went, you know what, actually we should be valuing defense a little bit more right now. It's like you are constantly on the back foot. The Cavs are playing this game in like 3 years behind where it needs to be played. It's not just to go out there and score 140. And even if it was, what about the Cavs' offense this year in the playoffs told you they're capable of doing that? So many games that they played in those playoffs, I'm watching them failing to get 100 points, failing to get to 110. So many teams around the league are doing, casually, regularly. And yes, you played some good defensive teams. Like, give the Pistons their credit, give the Raptors their credit, even the Knicks. But you're supposed to be the juggernaut. That's the thing. If you're going to build a team or completely centered around offense, which they have done more than that, then you should be able to make the great defensive teams of the NBA struggle. You should be their kryptonite to like, oh, wow, they're just that good offensively. And the Cavs aren't. 216-474-0092. What do you feel like the Cavs are trying to accomplish with their roster right now? Because I just don't know that I have an answer for you. I just don't know that I can buy into anything that they're currently doing that makes sense to me on where they're heading. All right, let's leave that there, because coming up here in 5 minutes, we're going to bring in Daryl Ryder. Daryl, out on socials yesterday, didn't sound very interested in the Brendan Sorsby experiment. We'll ask him about that, all things Browns and Cleveland sports, right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.